This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome back to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. This week on the show, we have Aaron Morin and Lance Crandall from Eru. Aaron, Lance, welcome to the show. Aaron, I'll start with you because you're on my left. Can you give us a quick intro on what you do at Eru?
Yeah, thanks for having us, Bradley. So I'm VP of product for our platform here at Eru, focused mainly on the better together experiences, things like AI, all the connective tissue that brings all of our various different offerings together. Been at Eru for about 5.5 years, and before that was a IT Apple system engineer across a couple of companies. Actually followed 9to5 Mac in the very early days. So lots of great associations there.
Well, thanks for joining us. Lance, what about you? What's your role at Eru?
Yeah, so I am the head of product over Windows, the Windows platform. It was something we expanded to recently as well. And, you know, we obviously had Apple in our roots for a long time and felt like we needed to expand to other platforms as well to kind of provide some more capabilities there. And so with that, I'm also working with Aaron on a lot of the AI initiatives that we have as well. And we'll talk about some of those probably today.
I mentioned on a past show that you know, how I view AI for Apple IT admins is I have very, you know, strong opinions that I've talked about the SaaS apocalypse in a previous episode, in a previous article, looking at, like, I don't think that I'm going to be getting rid of my device management system and spending my, you know, managing all this from like an AI prompt. I think it's going to be leveraging your existing SaaS tools, and you're going to be bringing in AI to just speed things up. But I think, kind of backing up there, talking about MCP servers and like where we think that's going to be, we're starting to see that discussed among the Apple community and how it interacts with device management. So just to, like, so we can set some ground level knowledge, can you get us up to speed on what is an MCP and like how it's going to, you know, impact device management?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Model Context Protocol, it was open sourced by Anthropic back at the end of 2024. And for those who might be new to MCP, it's effectively a wrapper around existing vendor APIs, which are often called tools. And MCP also includes two other things, resources and prompts that effectively help the LLM do the job that you want it to do. And that's really why MCP exists. It exists primarily to give LLMs the information and the context they need to effectively use a vendor's APIs instead of you needing to write a script or use Postman to call them and get value from them. You know, in the device management world, MCP exists so you can use Claude, Cursor, ChatGPT, etc. to interact with your device management system without needing to write a script or go into the UI, and you're, at the end of the day, still utilizing those APIs that you may be already utilizing today in some of the solutions that you're building.
Where does, like, so again, if you've got like a vendor, and this is not even just even the Apple side, that is like building in a, you know, like native AI functionality. So like they're bringing in their own tools there. Where do you think it's going to make sense, or how will companies decide, does it make sense to like bring in our own LLM on to connect or to use what the vendor is offering, basically what they're building in? How do you, you know, do you have any opinion there on like how that's going to be? Will it be a mix of both, or will, as companies grow, they're like, we want to make sure it's breaking in our own information?
Yeah, I think it's important first to kind of fully grok MCP, and what exactly it is, because that's going to really allow the admin to make the right decision. I don't know if Lance, maybe you want to walk through a little bit of the complex workflows that it helps with across different products.
Yeah, I think that's one of the real benefits of MCP. It's kind of providing you a simple way to interact with tools that you may already be using across products. And you can create some pretty complex workflows as part of that, as Aaron mentioned. You know, if you kind of think about what automation has looked like prior to this, it's basically, you know, you need to write a script or a program or something to interface and stitch together all these different tools that you had to kind of create this workflow or get the information that you need. You had to understand how the APIs worked. That could always be different between different products. You know, how do you call that API? What are the input formats? You know, what format are the results coming back in? And if you want to do anything fancier, you know, if you wanted to have, you know, charts or tie them into other tools, you know, now you had to do even more coding. And that gets really complicated, right? Because you're, you know, who maintains that code and long-term as well. And I think, you know, MCP really simplifies all of that. So basically, you know, you can put it in the AI tool of choice. Aaron mentioned, you know, Cursor or Claude or some of those types of tools. And, you know, now you can connect those, you know, authenticate to those tools and you have access to all their APIs all from like a single interface. And, you know, without you having to understand all that API structure, now you can actually like just basically use natural language to try to figure out like, or to tell it what you need, whether that's information coming back or even making changes within that product. And so, you know, that's something that I think was just really overwhelming before that now is much easier with, you know, different MCP concepts that are out there, with device management just being one of those different tools that you can have as part of that MCP complex workflow.
I really think I'd love y'all's opinion as well. Like, I think if someone said, how do you think AI is going to change, like the typical Apple admin, is my opinion, and like try to succinctly say it, is it will allow you to focus on the outcomes, not the process. So you want to know high level. I mean, just a simple example is I changed my software update policy recently to go from 30 days to 45. I have reasons, I'm not going to go on, but like that, I had to know how to go into the platform and like find that configuration profile, redo that. The simple answer for me is in the future, you won't need to know that. You will just need to know what you want it to do. And the system will handle that. And so I would love that y'all hear y'all's opinion on like, how do you think like, you know, AI being, you know, baked into device management is going to impact, you know, your average IT admin's day to day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my general stance is don't delegate something to an agent that you wouldn't delegate to another human. So I still want to be making all the decisions that are important about how something should be configured. Maybe I'll take input from, you know, folks around me or agents that I'm using. But in terms of the actual decision-making, at least for now, I want that decision-making to rest with my own self. Now, with the actual execution of the work that it takes to get to the outcome, like you mentioned, Bradley, that's where AI really comes in. And it really sort of ties back to the question that you asked a moment ago, the difference between MCP and a native AI experience, and kind of where to draw that line or the mental model that an admin should have when it comes to picking between the two. And really, they're two different tools in the toolkit, so to speak. And so while this is not a perfect mental model to reuse, maybe it can serve as a foundation. I think generally speaking, if you know exactly what you want to do, or generally speaking, you understand the outcome that you want, and you're using a powerful enough model with reasoning, maybe you're also in the middle of a workflow where you're not logged in to your device management solution. And let's say you're working across multiple apps and you're correlating data. That's a great time to use MCP. That's where MCP can come in and really help. On the flip side, if you're in the ideation or discovery phase of figuring out the outcome you want, or you want a more productized experience that doesn't feel as sort of bare bones and powerful, frankly, as MCP, or maybe you're you know wanting a solution that is more aware of how you have things configured inside your device management solution and how it operates, that's a great time to lean into the native AI experiences in your device management system if your device management system has that. It's going to have, again, more productized experiences, more guardrails, more rollback options. Whereas with MCP, you're basically just calling, or your agent on behalf of you is calling APIs. So MCP can be quite powerful. Like I said, especially if you're using a great model alongside of it, it still lacks the deep level of context or awareness that a fine-tuned model being used by a native AI experience would use. Additionally, and this might change with MCP over time, but MCP is fully inspectable, which means you're able to go and view all the things that are inside of it. So all the tools, all the prompts, all the resources, which is really great from a security and trust standpoint, but it's much less great from a product standpoint where you want to build a solution that maybe is reaching into more sensitive data that you don't want to expose inside of MCP, or maybe there are resources that your internal native AI experience relies on that you don't or can't make available via API. That's when the native AI experience really comes in and is able to do a lot more of the heavy lifting.
Lance, obviously you focus on the Windows side as well. And again, I mean, most environments are going to, even if they're 95.5, let's say that, organization where 95% of the people are using Mac, then 5% are using PC. You still, I mean, that's one of the benefits of being able to manage multiple. So, if your IT team is saying, okay, we have to build reports, but obviously the nuances of Windows, Mac, Android, iOS, they're different. Do you think this is going to help kind of unify, again, focusing on outcomes? So if you need to run reporting for compliance, you're not having to, again, bounce around between systems to do that. You can understand the nuances of every one, but end up with a report that answers the question you need to for compliance or accreditation, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that outcome focus is super interesting. And I think one of the benefits of AI and either MCP or native integration is, kind of having the ability to upskill some of these admins. So you mentioned like the 95.5 scenario, that's something that we come across, pretty often. And in that case, you may have, let's just say a Mac admin that is like I'll call it almost an accidental Windows admin, right? Like they need to manage that 5%, but they're not really Windows experts, but they do know that they need like certain levels of security, or maybe it's encryption or something like that. And so I think without knowing, the details of what needs to be done on Windows to do that, if the APIs and the MCP servers and even the native AI are sufficient enough, it can help guide, that admin to the right outcome without them having to know all the, the underpinnings of what's happening or what the policies even were that kind of accomplished that outcome. And I think that's really interesting. I think the other thing that's interesting too is it's almost like having a Windows MDM expert sitting next to you as you're trying to configure some of these policies, for example, where you can, have it grounded on best practices in the industry, whether that's, a cybersecurity best practice or CIS or, the vendor doc from the platform or something like that, right? And that helps you to really have the right outcomes too, and with understanding what those best practices are, and the AI can kind of help you, audit those things or even create those things as you move forward, and understand impact too. And I think impact's super important to understand when you're creating these policies, like what is this actually going to do in the end. So that upskilling, I think, is kind of a really important thing that drives outcome as well.
No, I mentioned this on a previous show that, you're constantly hearing that there's not enough cybersecurity experts. There's not enough this. And clearly we're not getting them. And I think that what we have to do is to be able to upskill like our entry level. They can come in today if they have these AI tools baked into the device management. It's really giving them like a second brain to immediately on day one have impact. But even if they're like, if they're coming from, a Jamf to an Aru or an Aru to a Mosul, et cetera, like they can come in and know immediately, okay, I don't know this interface as well, but I know what I need to do. Then you can have like some sort of co-pilot, some sort of chatbot, or just some sort of like, guiding you along that you then learn. It's still going to be no different than how I'm sure there are people that look at like today's device management that were Mac admins in 2005 and be like, y'all don't know what you don't know. And they're not wrong when they say that. Like, obviously, if you come through an era where like things are manual, you do have a deeper understanding of like why things happen and like how they work. And that's not a bad thing. It's no different than, you know, your average IT admin isn't a Exchange server expert. There are people today that have never managed a mail server, and that's true. And that is a good skill set to have, but it's also okay that the industry has moved past needing to know that. Like we've continued to like up-level people. And so that, yeah, the next generation doesn't know, but that's okay. The same reason like today's web developers don't remember writing HTML code in Notepad and publishing it over FTP. And that's okay. Those were skills that we needed then that maybe we don't need as much now. It's not a bad thing if you have them. And I think that's where we're kind of going to end up, where in 15 years from now, what an Apple IT admin knows and does is going to be different. And we may like, you know, us listening to the show may feel like the next generation of IT admins don't know things. And like, hey, you don't know that. Like it's a bad thing. Like it's okay if we kind of automate the toil and we have to up level skill sets. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there is a fear of losing the craft around certain things. And I think that we can maintain the craft of things like being an Apple admin. Because at the end of the day, the requirement or the job to be done is giving the user a device that's both productive and secure. And I think that the thing that AI can't do is build that relationship with the user, understand the needs of the user on a deeper level. That work is still extremely important. And the human element will always be really important to the craft of the work that folks have been doing for the past two decades.
Lance, obviously the Windows, I think we can learn a lot here from the Windows side, because there are things, you know, I remember early in my career and fighting with Windows on various things like you just don't have to do anymore. And obviously, you know, I think the Apple folks can learn a lot from that. Like, what do you think day-to-day some of the use cases are a decade from now? What's your Apple IT admin spending their time doing? Like, pretend like we have the same devices. They're just better, faster, stronger. What do you think the day looks like?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, gosh, AI is moving so fast. When you say 10 years, I honestly don't know if I could predict what's happening in 10 years, to be honest. But I think, you know, some of the things that will happen would be more of like the you know, maybe systems design type aspect of what's involved with device management, you know, everything from, you know, how do you deploy these devices, procure them, make sure that they're running. And some of what I think, you know, you're kind of seeing this industry too is around almost agent management, where you're kind of guiding the agents to do certain things. Maybe that's troubleshooting a device that's having an issue and you're guiding that agent. You know, so it's honestly hard to predict just with how quickly AI is moving. But, you know, I think some of the things I'm hearing and seeing the industry might be around that as well. Like, again, where you're managing certain agents that do different things. Maybe there's an app deployment agent and, again, the troubleshooting agent, or, you know, different things like that. And you're just making sure that the right things are happening, doing the human in approval, the human in the loop kind of approvals of different things that are happening that could have a major impact, versus just letting it, you know, run autonomously and potentially causing issues. So I think, it, you know, kind of along the lines of system design and agent management is probably a lot of what I think would happen, and making sure the right things are happening.
I heard that term agent management for the first, like agent manager as a job title for the first time yesterday, actually. And I thought I needed to noodle on that. Of course, I also spent my time yesterday. I was troubleshooting. I had a Mac come in 3 weeks out of warranty. It was like, you could tell it was turning on. I couldn't figure if it was like the secure enclave was messed up. But, you know, it was one of those like plugging up Apple configurator, trying to revive it. And I thought, you know what? That's something AI is not going to be able to do anytime soon, is troubleshoot my Mac hardware issues, which are certainly fewer and farther between. But I do like your comments about human in the loop, because I am passionate about that. And Aaron kind of indicated that earlier. Like, I'm not wanting to like turn things on. Like, it's sort of like, go back to that software update. I don't want to tell it and then just go do it. I want to tell it what I want and then bring me back the results and let me review it and then approve it. And I think the reviewing and approving is going to be the way this works. And, you know, something that maybe took like, you know, 3 hours before, you can spin an agent loose to do it for you. Maybe it does in the fraction of the time, but you still want to guide it and approve it and not do these like big, you know, big things that the agent gets confused and, you know, then you break things. So, I'm excited about this. Like, because what I don't feel like anybody's saying is like, we're getting rid of Apple IT admins. What I feel like the industry's saying is like, we are going to up level and turn every Apple IT admin and make them 10x better.
Yeah.
You're spot on. Yeah.
So Aaron, Lance, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Congrats on all the, you know, great things you guys are shipping. I feel like the industry, you know, AI is here, and then now the Apple focused companies are going to start building some really cool things and are doing some cool things. I feel like the foundation's being laid here. I think it's a good thing. And I think, again, we've all got plenty of work, and now we can just, do it better and faster. So a couple of weeks away from WWDC, so we're excited about what comes there. And then I'm sure you guys will have a busy summer, as always. And but again, Aaron, Lance, thanks for taking the time to chat with us, and we'll talk to everybody next week.